Thank you, Brother Steve and dear brethren. Wonderful to see you all here. It's the almost full house. And we know wherever the Lord's people are, the Lord is also with us. And we trust that this will be a weekend of blessing for each of us, that we'll learn many lessons that will help us to grow in grace and knowledge, help us be stronger in our warfare. As our study outlines for us, so many good principles to consider. Our theme, as you know, for this convention is has to do with, along the lines of our study, firm decision and self-control. We have this the theme text up there on 1 Corinthians 9, and how clearly that battle is outlined in that text. We thought we'd just give a foretaste. A decision, you know, is arrived at usually after careful deliberation. As when deciding to consecrate, we carefully consider the cost. We weigh the trifling things of this world, its pleasures and its hopes and its dreams and its ambitions, against an eternity of joy and blessing to be with our Heavenly Father, to have a nature like His, to be able to share in the uplift of mankind. So we have concluded that we have made the grandest bargain imaginable. And having made that decision, we must continue with firmness to carry out that covenant. Perhaps it was with some trepidation, some fear, something that said to us as we considered the call, we realized our own unworthiness. How in the world would we be able to fulfill our vows? But the Heavenly Father has not left us with uncertainty. You know, as we consider that 1 Corinthians 9 text, it says, He fights not uncertainly. Why? Because the prize is assured to Him. And the Lord has given us many wonderful, precious promises. I'd like to refer you to Matthew 6:34 and the manna for January 25th. Take therefore no thought for the morrow, for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Matthew 6:34. Our Lord assures us that if the main thought of our hearts is His service and the promotion of righteousness and an attainment in the kingdom which God has promised to them that love Him, then we need carry no anxious cares respecting the future. As His disciples, we will have trials and tribulations enough day by day, and will need daily to lean upon the bridegroom's arm as we seek to walk the narrow way. Sufficient for the day will be the evil of itself, and thanks be to God also, we have the promise that daily His grace shall be sufficient for us. Nevertheless, it will take courage. It will take effort. It will take fortitude. We appreciated the definition of fortitude. That strength or firmness of mind or soul which enables a person to encounter danger with coolness and courage, or to bear pain or adversity without murmuring, depression, or despondency. Fortitude is the basis or source of genuine courage and fearlessness in danger of patience. Genuine courage and fearlessness in danger, of patience in suffering, of forbearance under injuries, and of magnanimity in all the conditions of life. We sometimes confound the effect with the cause and use fortitude as synonymous with courage or patience. But courage is an active virtue, and patience is the effect of fortitude. And what is control? Control means to keep in check, to restrain, or to govern. That is where much of our energy will be expended, won't it? In the effort to thwart our three great enemies, the world, the flesh, and the devil. Self-control is directed at the flesh. We are opposing the old man, selfishness. The lesson found in Romans 8 speaks to this commitment and responsibility to oppose the works of the flesh. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. So there's a condition here to escaping the condemnation. Whether that condemnation be the result of the law of covenant, as in the case of the Jew, or the result of the Adamic fall, which fell upon all the race. That escape is a result of coming into Christ. There is we are to become a part of the body members through a consecration of our all. That leaves nothing out. What part of all do we not understand? We got to keep that in mind at all times. All our time, ambitions, desires, our wills, all of which are to be conformed to the Father's will. Having done this, we will be spirit begotten and will have then entered into the way of life which follows the Spirit of Christ, our example, our head. However, be warned, we must continue in that way if we are to avoid the condemnation of second death. So the apostle calls the law covenant a law of sin and death, precisely because the Jew is in a fallen condition and could not keep the covenant which they made as a nation, and thus they were again condemned to death, both under Adamic as well as under the law. There is another law of sin, which Paul also talks about in Romans 7, 23 and 24. But I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin, which is in my members. O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? That body of death we carry with us. But we need to keep it dead. That old man dead is what we need to do. This is our great battle. The new mind, the new creature, must control the flesh through the new will. For what the law covenant, could not do in that it was weak through the flesh, the fallen nature is incapable of keeping the perfect law of God. And there was no perfect mediator by which to bring reconciliation under that old covenant. God, sending his Son in the human likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin as a sin offering, condemned by his example, having kept the law of God, showing that a perfect man could keep God's law, and demonstrate how imperfect man had become by contrast, and thus condemned sin in the flesh. He then, by way of the ransom sacrifice, overthrew sin, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. His sacrifice provides that precious covering of the blood, enabling us to keep the law in spirit, not letter, because our mind and wills are in subjection to this law, as demonstrated by our continued effort to perform to the very best of our ability. And this effort is not for a day, nor for a year, but for a lifetime, even unto death. Be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life. So here is a great contrast. By their fruits shall ye know them. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, show their preferences for the fleshly desires. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. But they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit, demonstrate their love of the heavenly things through their conduct. For to be carnally or fleshly minded results in death. But to be spiritually minded, to have the mind of Christ thoroughly developed in us, means the attainment of life, abundant life. To be thus spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the fleshly mind is an enemy of God, as is the world and the devil, all three of these are our enemies also. For it, the flesh, is not and will not subject itself to the law of God. It cannot do so. So then, they that are in the flesh cannot please God. Since the flesh cannot please God and is the enemy, what is to be done? There is only one thing that can be done to such an enemy. It must be put to death. We must mortify the deeds of the body. Note the apostle's words in Colossians 3, and we will abbreviate and paraphrase. mortify, that is, put to death, your fleshly members from such sins as fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, etc. Also put off all these, anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth, lying, seeing that ye have put off the old man with his deeds, and have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him. And above all, put on love, which is the bond of perfectness. Paul says in 1 Corinthians 9:27, But I keep under my body and bring it into subjection. So he had the warfare as well. Lest that by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway. In verse 13 of Romans 8, the warning of Paul is very plain. If ye live after the flesh, ye shall die. But if ye through the Spirit, and we have the power of God on our side, if we but seek it, then do mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live. Now we have precious assurances, because the flesh is a difficult foe. We have precious assurances in verse 11. But if the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken, that is, energize in his service, make us alive as a new creature while still in these old mortal bodies. And even now we are given the Spirit, given life, Spirit begotten, enlivened by his Spirit that dwelleth in us. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. What a wonderful realization that we now have become new creatures, and that by this demonstration of our effort to control the old nature is a demonstration also that we are God's sons. So, dear brethren, let us daily renew our commitment. Let us firmly resolve, my morning resolve, daily, to fight the good fight against the enemy. Let us bring every power to bear to exercise control over the old nature, that in the end we may hear the words we long and so much desire into our ears. Well done, good and faithful servant. Enter thou into the joys of thy Lord. We trust, dear brethren, that in your personal studies, as you prepared for this convention, and in the comments that will be made from the floor as a result of our study today, we will find additional helps, perhaps some practical helps and lessons that will enable us to maintain this warfare daily, to overcome, be more than overcomers, and be faithful unto the end. This is our prayer for you. We ask the Lord's continued blessing upon this day, upon this convention, and may the Lord bless us all to this end.